Therapeutic plasma exchange. Wouldn't everyone?
Are you depending on luck to get to heaven? Some people are depending on luck or good works. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us needs a Savior. Thankfully, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that your sins and mine could be forgiven. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He is the one and only way to salvation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
Before time on earth began, before God spoke the word and created the world, before God created Adam, before He created Eve, before He created the stars and the sun and the moon and the planets, before all of that, God had a plan. And He kept this plan a secret, not the type of a secret that someone would be guilty and say, well, I don't want anyone to find out about my secret here, but the kind of a secret that a father would have or a mother would have as they prepare a Christmas gift for a child. This secret was a secret that was kept for ages. Kept for hundreds of years, even thousands of years, until one day on the shore of Galilee, a teacher who was in fact God Himself, God in the flesh, actually came and got into a boat and sat down and began to speak. Matthew 13 is going to be our primary text today. And it is unlike any other chapter in the Gospels. In a single extraordinary day, Jesus delivers seven parables in rapid succession. The sower, the tares, the mustard seed, the leaven, the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, and the dragnet. The crowds press so close that Jesus is forced off the shore and into a fishing boat, using the water as a natural amphitheater to carry His voice so that the crowds and the multitudes could actually hear Him. He didn't do this. This wasn't done by accident. This was actually designed and created and ordained by God. Everything about this scene was actually deliberate. The teacher had chosen his classroom, his method, and his moment. When the disciples pulled Him aside and asked, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus gave them a stunning answer, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So Jesus here goes on, and He actually, in this passage that we're going to read, He actually quotes from Psalm 78, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And so we are going to look into some of those things kept secret, some of those things that the Bible tells us prophets longed to look into, and try to figure out when this would happen, in what manner this would happen, and how would God actually come to earth in the form of a man? And how would He, even the prophets that prophesied about His coming, still wondered and longed to see Him? And of course, the disciples and the original disciples and the multitudes, they saw Jesus. Most of them actually cried out for Him to be crucified. But they still saw Him, they witnessed Him. And then the early church, some of them saw Him, some of them heard about Him. And certainly we look back upon His coming and a lot of the things that we really take for granted. I mean, you just need to realize These were kept secret from the foundation of the world. Let's turn first to Psalm 78, and we'll read beginning of verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set their heart, its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. And in this passage was written to the children of Israel, but it was also a prophecy of what would come to pass and how Jesus would come and would actually utter parables. He would speak forth parables, and he would utter dark sayings of old. And Jesus actually fulfilled that. And we're going to turn back to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading. We'll see how far we get in this, Matthew 13. And beginning of verse 1, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude sat on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And so we see this first parable is the parable of the sower, and the sower sowing the word. And really, he's talking to farmers. He's talking to people that lived, you know, they raised cattle, they farmed. Jesus, his father, Joseph, was a carpenter, and Jesus learned that trade. So there were certain trades, but a lot of them were involved in farming. And so they knew this principle of actually sowing seed. And in the Christian church, the Bible says that the word of God is seed. And in fact, the Bible says that we're to go out and we're to plant that seed. And some plant the seed and some water the seed, but God is the one that gives the harvest. And you see, in this parable, there were some who had, they all had the same seed. And they all had really the same potential for growth in that seed. But because some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air devoured that seed. And so some seed is maybe not going to fall in the best place. And other seed fell on stony places and sprang up quickly, but didn't have any root. And so it withered away when the sun came up. And then others were sown where there were thorns, and the thorns choked the seed. And if you've ever gardened, if you've ever farmed, you probably know You have to watch where, you know, not everything. Sometimes you have to actually pull some weeds. Sometimes you have to make sure that the weeds don't overtake the plants that you're actually trying to grow. But the seed that fell upon good ground yielded fruit. And so this is something that as we go out and we present the gospel and we share the word of God, we share God's good word, you never know. Even someone that appears to be someone that doesn't receive what you're saying, even someone that hates what you're saying, you never know what fruit can come from that. Maybe not instantly, but you can see a fruit from that, because God can use that seed later on when their heart does become ripe, when their heart does become fertile ground. And the disciples came to him, this is verse 10, and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Now, if you've read some Christian books from some speakers and some authors that actually talk about how you can actually use stories, and stories really are a powerful way to present truth, one of the things you'll see in those books is that they talk and they say that Jesus actually used parables to help people understand the truth. But when you read this passage, you're going to see that that's really not what Jesus was doing. They asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it." And so we see this, really what he's doing is showing, he's revealing them truth, but he's doing it in such a way that only those who really are pressing in, only those who are ready to receive that word are actually going to hear and bear forth fruit. And you can recall, and you can even go back and look at the passage he's quoting from Isaiah. And Isaiah was given a task, and his task was to speak until the people would not hear. And he was even told by God, the people are not going to receive your message. They're not going to repent. You're going to call for them to repent. You're going to ask them to repent, but they're not going to do it. And consider the people that Jesus was speaking to at that time. There are certain people throughout history that you can say and you can see clearly that God in his sovereignty withheld them from understanding. And certainly, if all of the Jewish people had accepted the word of Jesus and had accepted his truth and had praised him and honored him and wanted to serve him, they never would have cried out for him to be crucified. And he never would have been crucified, because they would have supported him. And yet it was necessary for them to reject him. And we're about to celebrate that, to remember his death, his burial and celebrate his resurrection, because that was all necessary. It was necessary for the people to not understand. It was necessary for their hearts to be hardened. It was necessary for them not to hear. But Jesus is here. He's presenting the word, and the same word that other people, that is not producing fruit in other people, is going to produce fruit in the apostles. And certainly on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 people came and confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior, some of these same people who actually may have rejected him, some of the people who may have cried out, "Crucify him," may have actually repented of their sins and cried out to God for forgiveness on that day. But it was necessary for them to be in darkness. It was necessary for them to be lost. It was necessary for them to go away confused, not knowing what really, whether this is the Christ. And you see throughout the Gospels many times that the people actually pondered, is this the Christ? What is this? Who is this that we see? Is this the promised one that we see? But Jesus said that their hearts, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But he goes on, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. And so you see here the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Amos and the various other prophets, Daniel, Hosea, various other prophets in the Bible. Moses was even a prophet. They desired, they looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. And they pondered and they wanted to see this, but they weren't able to see it. But at that time that Jesus was actually there, there still were people who heard but didn't understand. Jesus in verse 18 says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes in and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. So there are some, if you are a Christian and you should be telling other people about Jesus, you should be sharing the gospel. And there are some who are not going to receive that. There are some that may spit in your face. There are some that may be angry at you. There are some that may lash out at you. And some of those may be people that don't understand it, and the evil one actually comes and snatches it away from their heart. Verse 20, but he who receives the seed on the stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it for joy with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And so you may have been in a place like this in the past. Maybe you're in a place like this now. Maybe you've seen some people like this who actually hear the word of God and they get excited, and for a period of time, it looks like they're on fire for God. And you may not be able to even keep them out of church. They're there every time the church is open. And they want to be thinking about God. But really, they don't have the root. And they're not established. And when persecution comes, when trouble comes, when things get difficult, they actually leave the faith. They forsake the word of God. And certainly if you're in that situation, if you've been in that situation, repent of your sins and come back to God and follow the teaching of Jesus to hear the word of God and abide in the word of God so that you can be his disciple indeed, so that you can know the truth and the truth can set you free, so that you can meditate on the word of God, so that you can be like the tree, like the Bible talks about in Psalm 1, that's planted by the rivers of water that bears forth fruit in its season, hearing and doing the word of God, so that you can be like the man who built his house upon a solid foundation. This is important that we do this. In verse 22, now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed, so you see this, let me just talk about this a little bit. So there are some that receive the seed, but they allow the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke out the word of God. So when we receive the seed, we need to make sure that we're not, and this is a biblical principle, if you're abiding in the word of God, you're not going to know everything that you're supposed to do to begin with, but you're going to be reading the word of God, and you're going to see certain things in the Bible, and you're going to come to a certain part in the Bible. In fact, there's a few parts in the Bible where the Bible tells you to not care about anything. In fact, to cast your cares upon the Lord, to not worry about anything, but to instead pray about everything and allow God to actually do a work in you. And the deceitfulness of riches, you'll see that we should not seek after, that we should not love wealth, that we should seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things would be added unto us. Verse 23, but he who receives the word on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears forth fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. These are the people that we really want to be like. We need to hear the word of God and have our hearts being good soil. Now, you know, a lot of times I've heard this passage presented, and really the presenters are really talking as if the people that are hearing the word can actually prepare their heart. And certainly we can do some things, but you know, the biblical principle is, you know, Jesus talked about becoming fishers of men, his disciples, making them fishers of men. You know, fish don't clean themselves. God has to do a work in your heart. God has to do a work in the heart of the person. In fact, before we present the word of God and after we present the word of God, we need to pray that God would do a work on behalf of those people, that God would in fact touch their hearts, that God would grant them a spirit of repentance, that God would prepare their hearts so that their heart would be fertile soil. And certainly, God can help them to understand his word. It's important that we actually also, as we receive the word of God, that we again follow the words of Jesus, that we abide in his word. John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, what does it mean to abide in his word? To live in his word. So just like you live in a house, or you live in an apartment, or maybe even some people are homeless. So maybe, you know, you live one place one day and another place another day. But wherever you live, we get the idea here. When you live in a house or you live in an apartment, you spend a lot of time there. And we should be spending a lot of time in the Word of God. We should be thinking about the Word of God. We should be meditating upon it. We should be memorizing it. We should be muttering it to ourselves, speaking it forth to ourselves, thinking it and actually speaking it forth when we're tempted also, just as Jesus did. Jesus showed us the pattern that we should live. So if we abide in his word, We will be his disciples indeed. A disciple means that we're a disciplined follower. You can be a disciplined follower, and we will know the truth. How would we know the truth? Because his word is truth, and we're abiding in his word. And so then that truth will set us free, free from sin. So we need to do these principles. We need to put this into practice. And again, as we do this, we're going to see that we're not supposed to be out there caring and worrying and allowing the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, to choke out the word of God. We're even to be praying to God. You know, I know one pastor that told me that he started reading the Bible and he wasn't a Christian. And he read that God would save the elect. And he started praying, God, I don't know if I'm elect, but if I'm not elect, can you make me elect? Because I want to know you and I want to be saved. And we can do our part to actually pray. But ultimately, as we present the gospel, certainly we can be skilled. We can learn more. We can learn how to communicate better and more effectively. But ultimately, it's not the person that delivers the word. It's God who brings forth that word to carry out his purpose. And so we need to actually present and to continue the word of God. So we'll continue this next week, and we'll get into some other parables next week as well, as we start to explore these secrets, these truths kept secret from the foundation of the world. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and give us your
Are you depending on luck to get to heaven? Some people are depending on luck or good works. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us needs a Savior. Thankfully, God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that your sins and mine could be forgiven. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He is the one and only way to salvation.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher, on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer. They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and they claiming to be what they never were in their lives.
Friendship with God with Tom Cantor, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. right here on WCNO.
I'm Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry. Join us every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.